Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers episode, wait for it,
yes,
300.
That, my friend, is a milestone.
Yes. This episode is directed by Zack Snyder.
Dan, do you have your happy 300 celebration song?
Come back to me.
He'll have that by episode 400.
Okay. Yeah.
He'll have a 300 song.
Yeah.
By 400. Yes. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Yeah, I will say that Giles Martin is working on it.
All you want, because
George
Kevin
Martin's
and I
son.
No.
Oh, okay. It's Sir George Martin's son.
Ah.
It's kind of taken over.
Gotcha. They could make so much money.
Is that who you're talking about?
If like the sons would get together and tour. But I guess McCartney doesn't have a son, right?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I'm sure he's got one somewhere.
And there's,
I only ever hear about the daughters.
No, he's got one. And then there's Danny Harrison, who looks
and sounds,
like George,
and plays like George.
Yeah, and then you've got a couple Lennon sons.
Julian would be perfect.
Julian's the one that's
the one that really I think sounds like if you did. Danny Harrison, Julian Lennon. If you could find a McCartney that sounds
There's a McCartney. And there's Zach Starkey.
Yeah.
Who plays drums.
Is that Ringo's kid?
Yeah. So
it's weird to not hear his real. Like, I never knew his real name.
Yeah, Richard Starkey.
Okay.
His real name.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr sounds better.
Yeah. He made the right
Richard
choice.
Richard Starkey sounds
Tony
like
Tony Starkey.
Yeah, Tony Starkey.
It sounds
same thing.
It sounded better than Pete Best.
That's what.
No. He still tries to argue against that. And it's like Pete Best, that argument has been proven wrong.
Well, it's like Dave Mustaine. Like Dave Mustaine was the guitarist in Metallica,
right?
And they were just like, you drink too much.
Yeah,
when they were alcoholic.
Yeah,
when
you get kicked out of Metallica in the 80s.
Yeah,
for drinking,
yeah,
too,
for
much,
drinking too much. He was like, you know what? Fine, I'll go make my own band.
Yeah,
300.
There.
Oh,
see, it's a Megadeth 300.
Yeah, that's how that was where we're going.
Sneaks in.
Yeah, so now we can go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Spoilers.
It's a 300 reference.
You tried. You gave it a go.
Yeah, that's
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Points for trying.
This is Kevin.
There we go.
They knew.
He'll edit all that out. Yeah, they knew. And this is Tom. So 300 of these things.
I never thought we'd get to 100. I never thought we'd get to 10.
You know what's funny is it was so long ago. People were requesting movies to be a part of our 300 episode spectacular extravaganza.
Right.
Some people were saying you should review 300. Other people said you should review that 300 prequel. And
we did the 300 prequel.
It was like episode.
Wait, you mean we could have just posted a rerun?
Yeah, right.
We could be sleeping right now.
I could have gotten off, gotten off work and gone to sleep.
It was almost 270 episodes ago that we did that 300.
That movie was so bad.
It was
pretty bad.
I can't believe it was episode boobs, though. 35, though. I mean, that seems like we just recorded that.
Yeah, that seems newer.
I remember watching that and then doing the episode, and here we are.
It's weird to see them, when they come out on Blu-ray. Movies that they're getting like the 10-year anniversary. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're creeping up on it. That was 4.5 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to need to make more money on Man of Steel. So, like, it's the 5-year anniversary. Here's the Steelbook version.
They Photoshop in a mustache.
Yeah, right. What a weird story.
I think Dollar General already has all the re-releases there.
What a strange, strange story that is. Because I guess, so they're going back into more reshoots.
They're reshooting the reshoots.
Yeah. And Henry Cavill is in the new Mission Impossible, and he has
because they don't have enough other male leads.
Yeah, right. So we're gonna give him this guy. Well, they realize the masculinity level for Tom Cruise is sinking quickly.
But they got Jeremy Renner in.
Jeremy Renner.
Oh, is he? And Simon Pegg.
Ving Rhames.
And now Henry Cavill.
And Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
Oh, what Tom Cruise's
is,
age?
Is Cavill the bad guy?
I don't.
That's what I would guess.
Well, he has to be. He has a mustache. He has to be the bad guy. Yeah, he has a mustache.
Of course he is.
But now my theory was what they should have done is, since he has the mustache, is just have him shoot all his scenes as Bizarro.
I will just say he's been Bizarro the entire time, and now he's the real Superman. But yeah, so they have to digitally take his mustache out of the reshoots.
They had to do the same thing with Sex and the City.
They had two mustaches.
They had to take out Samantha's mustache.
They had to shave down Carrie's teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she had just got done filming Seabiscuit.
Oh, right. Of course.
All right. I'm going to give it a sideways. Come on.
But I do like.
Wait, did we review Sex and the City 2 on the show? Did that come out while we were doing this?
I did a written review for it.
Okay.
Because everybody lambasted that movie, but that movie was bad.
Yeah.
And I liked Sex and the City, just to be clear. I've seen every episode of Sex and the City.
I've never seen a single episode.
They were funny.
I watched in the city, Sex in the country.
I think you're watching a different show there, buddy.
It was a well written show.
It absolutely was. I watched every single episode, and even that first movie, I thought was pretty.
Was that
good.
Like the tie up? Was that just a?
Yeah, it was kind of like they. Well, yes. I think if memory serves, the series ended with Mr. Big proposing to her, and it kind of had a happy ending.
Who was
the,
Mr. Big?
Yeah, Chris Noth. Yeah,
okay.
And then the movie was them planning their wedding.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then like Sex and the City 2 was, I mean, it was bad for a lot of reasons, but then it was, but like right out of the gate, it was like, oh, they're having marital problems, and I'm like, don't do a whole show about them getting together,
right?
And then do a whole movie about their happily ever after, and then come back in the sequel and instantly be like, "It's
we're done."
Skids. Like,
and they went to the Middle East.
Yeah,
they were like, what? It was supposed to be like Dubai.
I think it was supposed to be Dubai, but they couldn't film there.
Great, we get a Sex in the City movie, but I can't get a Deadwood movie to save my life.
It was a cash grab.
Yeah,
I mean, it was cash grab. The first one was somewhat of a cash grab, but it was a cash grab.
Yeah, it was. Although. On the upside, the Sex and the City 2. I always have to remember it's and
not in.
Not in.
Yeah,
Sex and the City 2. We have that movie to thank for laying the groundwork for all of the de-aging technology that Marvel's been using.
Can you do something about her face? Like, this is.
For real though, like they did a lot of work digitally
on her
on all of them. From
She's
what
Cat
I've been
Grant.
Told,
if I were to recast, she would be my Cat Grant.
Gotcha.
But heartbeat. I think the most
in a herpy
heartbeat.
Oh, okay. It is Sex in the City.
It is Sex in the City.
I mean,
yeah.
It's gonna happen,
yeah. Right?
I think the most I've ever seen of Sex and the City is that scene in Borat when he's talking at the campfire with all those like redneck hunter.
Can I
guys.
Tell you? I've never seen that either.
You've never seen Borat?
I don't find...
That's like the good one.
So I don't
Did
find...
Did you say Borat?
Those characters... Like...
Borat.
I don't
Borat.
Know. It's supposed to be Borat.
Borat.
It's Borat. Like Borat.
Borat.
Say Brolin.
Borat. Say, I'm saying it. I think maybe that's just how... It, Borat.
Borat.
It sounds like you're saying Borat.
That's weird. It does. I'm literally saying B-O-R-A-T.
I was like, who is Borat?
I'm not like, Borat.
I find
was
those...
that one of the fake guys that replaced Bo and Luke Duke on Duke's Hazard?
Bo
the cousin.
Bo.
Fo and Luke
Fo
Duke.
And Bo.
Fo and Luke Duke.
Yeah, I find those, like, I think he's can be very funny, but I find those characters like nails on a chalkboard.
But that's the best one.
Like, it is really good.
It's hilarious.
But it's sort of like that's a lightning in a bottle moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they did
The Dictator?
No, Bruno.
Oh,
it was Bruno like was Bruno was like, and they said they were going to take it farther. And there are parts of Bruno that
funny.
I laughed, and yeah. I don't do that. But there were times
inside,
that I did.
So.
But then there's other times where I'm like, oh, this is like so far past the line of comfort.
There is so that like. I don't like that the super uncomfortable comedy.
Oh, well, then that's absolutely
that first season of The Office. Who, buddy?
Which one?
The American version before they got it right,
which is like the same as
which
the
big, no.
Yeah, because I was a dope.
The first episode's
the
exact same thing.
They turn Michael up to 11, and he is so awkward.
Yeah,
it's bad. And then they figured it out in season two.
Have you worked at an office? it was. Pretty. I mean, later it became, you know, more of like characters that, you know, have to sort of fulfill the things we like about them. But
this is the first season.
Yeah, like the second and third season, you're like, ow.
No.
The British version.
Oh.
I mean, I watched the British version and the first couple episodes I didn't realize.
Is that Martin Freeman? Is he on that show? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought
I'm a dummy and thought it was a documentary.
Really?
One, because they weren't like established, you know, stars.
They weren't names.
Yeah, and I was watching
the beginning of that. I mean, The Office started that style of TV show.
And I watched like the first couple episodes, and then I was like, hold up. And I was like, God, this is awful.
It's awful. Yeah. I think it's got the gal from Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Gal Gadot?
No.
Yes.
The gal from
Wonder. Literally, yeah. And then Martin Freeman and... what's his name? David.
Ricky Gervais?
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's in the Pirates movies.
Yeah.
That is like the Dwight character.
Gareth,
yeah.
And Stephen Merchant co-created it with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
does he show up? He shows up on...
He's in it.
But he shows up on the American version too, right?
He plays, I think he does
I think
have
he plays
couple...
David.
Ricky Gervais?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shows up.
They have a moment in like a hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when they're looking for Michael's replacement.
That's
right?
What I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great Jim Carrey cameo.
Yeah.
Though you never see him. You hear about him, but then you don't see him until the very end of an episode, and it's Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Who's like a guy who applies. He's like, but I have a vacation. I don't understand why they don't get that I have to take a vacation. Like, they talk about him. They talk about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, he was so weird and so awkward, and he kept talking about this vacation, and you never
see him.
You
don't see him in the very end.
Like, it's like they do the credits, and they come, like, you know, when they come back.
Yeah.
A stinger, if you will.
A stinger, yeah. It's Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. They had, like, it was like Will Ferrell. And
I remember they had a bunch of, like, big names come in. And
yeah.
Yeah. I remember Bill Cott, who was on an episode.
Yeah.
He auditioned for The Office.
And really?
He posted the sign-in sheet of when he went in to sign in.
Oh, yeah. And all
it
the
was,
people.
And it was, like, Rainn Wilson was on there. And like,
oh, that's
it was
pretty cool.
Like, a lot of people who, at the time, weren't names.
Yeah.
And like, his sign-in sheet.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess that was, he took the picture because he... No, I guess I don't think he did take the picture. I think Rainn Wilson posted the picture,
and his name was on it.
And his name was on.
I got gotcha.
Is what it was.
That's
yeah.
still pretty. That's cooler.
That's cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually cooler.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was sort of like the. It's still a slow resurgence, but a resurgence of James Spader.
Oh man,
when he
Robert
came in
California.
As Robert California, which was
so great.
I think you can call it. I mean, he's got
Blacklist.
Blacklist. That's a hit television show, and he was in Ultron.
But it's like I think it could still be more.
Was he the bad
sure,
guy?
Sure, but he was never. An A-list star.
No, but no. it was that, like,
really?
Robert California was a...
No, he never opened a movie.
No.
Nobody
was
like...
Breakdown? Was he the bad guy in Breakdown?
He was the... Oh, God. No. Is that the... That's
the Kurt Russell one, yeah, where his wife gets kidnapped.
No, that was... that's like J.T. Walsh, I think.
James Spader knockoff.
No.
No.
But you would recognize what you saw.
Yeah.
He's a character actor.
Stargate.
He was in a ton.
Oh, yeah. Stargate.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
No, the guy you're talking
about. No, that's Spader. Spader's in Stargate.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Spader's in Stargate.
Yeah.
Spader was, I mean, he was like kind of like was he the bad guy in Pretty in Pink?
Yeah.
Was?
He was?
Yeah. Well, he was the...
Oh, yeah.
Eugene,
okay.
The
yeah.
bad guy.
Yeah, right.
He was just a douche.
He was in there twirling, tie you to a railroad. No.
In Steven Soderbergh's first big movie, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
That's right.
Oh
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, and he's in a.
I know I'm right.
In so a great.
Well,
in a great. Here's a bonus. Recovery. Jack's back. check that out. It's a movie about like sort of like somebody is like a serial
like
serial
a Jack
killer,
the Ripper thing,
yeah. A Jack the Ripper, you know, like recreating Jack the Ripper's murders, and it's got James Spader, and it's really good.
Hey,
it's one of those ones where it's like, this sounds terrible, and it's like, wow, this is really good.
Idris Elba also on The Office.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a very rare,
fresh off the wire.
Yes. And a very rare comedic performance. I don't think I've ever seen him do comedy before.
Yeah.
Zootopia.
That doesn't count.
Sure it does.
I mean, he's,
I don't know.
But it's just voice work.
It's just voice work.
Not, like, you've not seen him do
right. That wasn't live action, Zootopia.
Zootopia was not live
that
action,
wasn't
Kevin.
All I think
it's kind
animals.
Of offensive that you think it was. I think, Dan, you need to...
Well, that...
I wasn't referencing just his character. I was referencing the
I'm
movie.
I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about that gazelle that I thought was Shakira. So,
wait, like,
so shame on me.
The gazelle wasn't Shakira?
Whoops.
Explains why her fur was so matted.
Oh.
I knew I'd get it.
We got to get him back in. You know, that arm is worn out. He hasn't been here in a while, so he's got to get it.
Oh, his arm, his arm's doing just fine because of that Shakira gazelle.
That's right.
Like, he's doing A-okay.
All right.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Yes.
Do we have a review? It's been a while.
We don't. They don't love us anymore.
It's been a while.
So we're going to have to threaten Emoji Movie 301.
Oh, they would want us to do the
Oh, no,
movie.
Never mind.
Yeah, you have to. They
well, I don't want to see it, so I don't want to threaten to not do it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to
see the movie
it.
They voted for.
Yeah.
I was hoping the Emoji Movie came out this week just because it was like, I would rather see that just because I know it'd be like an hour shorter.
Right, it'd be shorter, so there's that going for it. Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was like, oh, maybe we could see that. Like, if you're going to have to, like, walk through a fart, you're going to want to go through the shortest one. You'd be like, whoa, oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, you want somebody who had a salad, not somebody just ate Mexican.
Exactly.
Right. So, what?
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, he's the one that started
that's
the farting. Just to be clear, Mr. Maraca started the fart analogy.
Fart. Now, see, I didn't.
Okay, it's not a queef.
Yeah.
Aw,
what?
Yeah! I was going to say, why are you contemplating whether or not you should use your maraca?
I was going to throw it.
I got it for matted fur.
Yeah, no, I was going to throw it.
Oh, well,
that's
another level of maraca. If I get one thrown
maraca,
in my head,
just gonna get it.
I'm on his side. When you grow up with the last name O'Keefe, you don't like queef references.
No, I don't blame you.
Like, you deal with it a lot.
That's tough.
Yeah, thanks for pulling on that scar.
Trigger. Now I've been triggered.
Yeah.
I need to go to my safe place. So, shameless plugs
so
is where
up,
we were
so just
at.
Just upstairs then?
Yeah, pretty much. Right, yeah. Okay. So, iTunes, all that, rate, review. You haven't done it for a while. You're all lazy bastards. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. Like, so many people have joined the League of Show Sharers. It's a pretty lengthy list, not just because it's been like 19 episodes since we've done it.
How's the girth?
Well, I don't like to brag.
Come on, Dan!
I just shaking my head.
Now I'm thinking of Wayne's World.
Yes.
Party on Girth.
Wayne and Girth.
Wayne and Girth, yeah.
So people that joined the League of Show Sharers this week, Librarian Cynthia, Zach Bach, Brent Smith, Timmy Tuzoons, Brandon Coleman. That's a new one.
Yeah, welcome.
Dan.
Brandon Coleman. Hi.
Chris Sanders, Nick Scott, Bud Vogtlin.
That's got to be a new
one,
too.
That's a new one. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but.
What's up, Bud? What's cooking?
All right.
Travis T. Witt, Richard Lawson. I think that we've done him before.
Yes.
Jason Weese, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Foxsmith, Tom Comiskey, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Ming Bian.
No, that's not new. Dan has made a song for them before.
Oh, yes. That's right, because it was probably mildly offensive.
Yeah.
Brad Hyen, Brett Schulte, Chris James, Linnea Thunsell, Ken Mills, the aforementioned Bill Cott actually shared an episode. That
thank
was nice
you.
Of him.
I don't think he's ever joined the League of Show Shares.
I don't think he has. That makes him a new one.
Shared the show he was on.
Yes. No, I think he did.
Oh. Damn. Anytime, Dan.
You owe us a Bill Cott.
That needs some research, but oh man, Bill Cott, huh?
That's not the song, is it?
Now he's on the spot.
Bill Cott.
There it is. All right,
it's kind of like a newsy kind of intro.
Dylan Lang.
Dylan Lang, there's a barber showing photographs. What? What? It's pretty late. That's all I could think of.
He's like, you're going for
he's
it.
He's getting a workout today. Yeah. And
there goes the royalty checks.
Yeah. And one more. Don't worry. He shared before. You're safe. Oh, Jason Herndon. So, Dan, thanks you, Jason, for not being new. It makes his life
kind of like,
whoa. Yeah. So there is all of your shameless plugs. Thank you for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his dusty abacus at the ready.
I do, Tom. And the movie of the week last week is number one once again, just barely edging out that Emoji Movie. Dunkirk, $28 million with a 45% drop. It is now up to just a little bit over $100 million in the U.S.
And deserves none of it.
And a little over $100 overseas. So we're talking $200 million on a $100 million budget in 2 weeks.
I mean, that's pretty solid.
That's a pretty slick budget for a movie of that caliber.
Well, I think I saw that like this one was considerably shorter.
Right.
Than, like, somebody posted, it may have been Nolan, posted a picture of the reels.
Yeah.
Right? So there was the reel for Dunkirk, the reel for Inception, and I guess The Dark Knight. And, like, it was significantly smaller. So, I mean, you could
say 45 compared to
like two and a half, 245.
And it's a significantly simpler story. If this, not the story that Tom and I wish they would have told, but I mean, what they're telling is a very simplified story of the event. And, you know, it follows three different timelines and they all end up merging together. So they're just very short little chunks. And then,
it's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. So
it was funny. I listened to the episode and I was talking to a friend and I was like, oh yeah, the guys were not fans of that movie. And she was like, yeah, but it's Christopher Nolan.
Right.
And I was like, aha, you're one of those people.
See, I'll tell you what. So I've listened to a few podcasts recently because I wanted to hear other critics' takes, because we were all on the same page when it came to that film. And after the screening, talking to the other critics, we all seemed to be on the same page. And I'm just wondering why other people around the country and around the world, which I understand that some of it is probably because over in Britain and Europe, it's no more widely known and taught and everything. But I've just wanted to listen to some podcasts to hear why people are loving it and saying it's amazing. But it's funny. I've listened to a couple.
Did you listen to Skip to the End?
I didn't listen to theirs, but yeah, they're over in the UK.
Yeah.
But I've listened to a couple, and the people say, yeah, it's a bit cold and there's not a lot of character development. They make a lot of the same points as we go, but then they make excuses and they love it. And I'm you're doing exactly what you would tear apart any other movie for those same reasons. But they say, but he does all this other stuff so well that, maybe he can't do it all. It's like, no, really talented filmmakers do all of it. They do great visuals, great effects, great story, great characters. Spielberg. I mean,
not all hits.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
they don't have to be.
Hasn't done it, but you don't go, the visuals and the audio are really good, but the character development's bad. But hey, I mean, he does this so good. It's like, no, that means it's bad.
Right.
Or not
up to par.
Not exactly. And so it's funny. I've heard some really valid points, but it's funny the points that I've heard, they're the same as ours for not liking it, and they still say the movie's excellent.
It reminds me of Lee Daniels' The Butler.
I
mean, people were like, oh yeah, the story is ludicrous and it jumps around and it's not very well done and the makeup's awful, but it's important.
It's an important movie.
So you should like it.
Right.
And it's like, no, if it's important, then it needs to be well done. Like
12 Years a Slave.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a good version of a I mean, I know The Butler's telling a radically different story.
Sure,
but in terms of a serious story that has a historical...
And has racial overtones. Not really undertones, but...
Yeah, but, but that movie was done well.
Right.
And The Butler wasn't, so...
And I will say, I have heard some valid points on the other side, and I've listened to a friend of the show, Jason, over at the Atlantic Screen Connection. He loved the film. He saw it twice, and in listening to his podcast, he said that the characters weren't as developed, but that Nolan was doing it on purpose. He argued for the things that we didn't like about it, that he did to further the story. And and it's his opinion and he has every right to it. So, he didn't go, they were cold and underdeveloped, but the visuals were so cool. He actually made an intelligent argument. And so some people are saying that furthered the story that Nolan was trying to tell, and he did it on purpose. So
I think it's funny how anybody that hasn't liked the movie, like, is getting labeled a contrarian.
When
it's like, okay, I think there's enough people now that have the same complaint about the movie that even if you disagree, they're not just being contrary.
Like, those are legit complaints.
If you're contrarian is when there's like a 99% approval rating,
and you're like,
and then there's one.
But there was on Rotten Tomatoes at the time, and what Tom's talking about, it was really frustrating because what was, do you remember the website that I shared with you? Who was it there was, at the time, Dunkirk had maybe one or I think it maybe had three negative reviews or three rotten, you know, so 70, 60% or lower. It doesn't make it a zero, but three rotten. And it eventually,
it's not emoji movie level.
No, it eventually ended up with like 16 against 100 and something. So still the minority, but there were three. And I sent some to Tom because I was like, I just wanted to understand why critics were loving it and praising it when they saw the same thing that we did. And so I went and read the three negative reviews, and they all made great points, and the same ones that we made, actually. And I was like, thank you. I'm glad we're not alone. But when you went to the comments on one of them, and this is a pretty popular site. I'm not saying it was EW, but it was, you know, one of the bigger online publications.
Screen Rant.
Maybe. It was something like that, though. You know, one of the bigger publications. And the comments were all tearing into this guy, and this is before the movie was released. This was 3-4 days before, and these people hadn't gone to early screenings.
It's like you can't have a different opinion,
right? But these people were lambasting the critic who had
seen
it.
That's what I'm saying, like
calling him contrarian, saying that,
which is ironically makes them apologists.
Yeah, and it just,
if they haven't seen the movie,
yeah, it was making me so frustrated. I share it with Tom, like, this guy's making valid points, and they're the same that we share, actually. And then these people are calling them contrarians and hacks, and going to look at their old reviews and saying, well, this is the guy that, you know what I mean? Trying to find every reason to invalidate this guy's points that were valid points, in my opinion. So I just hate that, how even people that hadn't seen the movie, because it's Nolan, were calling it a masterpiece before it came out. And that's the problem that we're running into with this film.
Yeah. It's, I think when you have a name director like that, you're going to have people that, it's like a sports team or politics. Well, my guy can't be wrong.
Right.
And it's you know, and it's like, I mean, I love Spielberg, but he doesn't change the fact that he made Hook. You know?
I
love Spielberg. That definitely doesn't change.
That's the one
Hook
you went
and
for.
And always.
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
I mean, he's got a period of, you know, career damage.
Yeah.
Where I was, you know, we were like, ooh.
Yeah. Where he hit a little slump there for a while.
I mean, I'll give you Hook. I've never seen. Was it?
Always.
Always.
And what is that?
A remake of a movie called A Guy Named Joe, and
it's a great movie.
It's Audrey Hepburn's last appearance, but it's John Goodman and Richard Dreyfuss, and Richard Dreyfuss is a he's a firefighter. You know, they're the ones that, you know,
like with the planes,
with the plane.
Oh yeah.
Jump the water, and he dies, and
spoilers.
Then it's kind of the whole movie.
He dies.
Holly Hunter's in the movie, and he's like a ghost who's. He's a ghost.
Gotcha.
Richard Dreyfuss. It's a ghost Richard Dreyfuss.
Even better.
Which, you know.
Oh, it's a ghost story.
After, you know, the two other Richard Dreyfuss Spielberg joints, which were Jaws and Close Encounters.
Yeah.
This is a bitter pill to swallow. Mm. And visually, there's some really beautiful scenes in the movie, but it's not good.
Interesting.
And it's one of those things where it's like people were like, he's a genius. It's like, no, this
is
not.
Like, he might be, but not because of this.
I kind of felt like that, like Spielberg was trying to pivot away from tentpole, big blockbuster type movies.
But he couldn't resist it.
He's swinging for the fences next summer.
But this is such a, like a weird.
Yeah.
It was such a weird, fantastical story. It was just not.
No, it's like Tarantino. Like, I don't. With
the apologists, but his movies are all pretty good.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Jackie Brown, but.
Oh, I think it's good.
Have you seen it again?
No.
Revisit it.
Yeah, watch it again. Yeah.
You'd be surprised. That is one that is like you. Same thing.
What's the one that he's working on? Oh, the Manson one.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. I was like, yeah.
I think Jackie Brown suffered from the fact that was kind of his first one that wasn't like rapid patter with lots of pop culture references, and it, you know, and it wasn't the shot of adrenaline.
It also wasn't an original,
no pun intended,
story.
Yeah,
it wasn't an original story.
It's Elmore Leonard.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that huge just shot to the system.
Yeah,
the way
that's for sure.
Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs was. It was more just a straight ahead crime movie. And so I do think people walked out like, oh, but he's supposed to kick my ass. And it's
is
like
that Keaton. Is Keaton in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't always make a movie like that. Like that's pretty high expectation.
Have you watched it now and you didn't think of it as his third movie and the one after Pulp Fiction, you would think, oh, this is a really good movie.
It fits into his stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Growing up, I remember it always watching it, and it was always my least favorite when I was a lot younger because I'm like, oh, that's the one that's not Pulp Fiction. And
right.
Not, you know,
that's exactly right.
But when you go back and watch, like, this is good.
It's really good. It's just, yeah. It's just, you know, at the time, it was thing, like polarizing.
Yeah. I guess I'll go back and watch it.
You'd be surprised. You will.
You turn me around.
Well, Joe, it will put a big colon right parenthesis on your face, more so than the Emoji Movie.
What the hell does that
segue? That's called a segue.
Yes.
Which is, why didn't we? Why wasn't that on our vote?
Because nobody wanted to see
that
it.
Was we were step, afraid they'd pick it.
Yeah, that was a step lower.
Guys, my time is money, and that's an hour less. So,
yeah. But,
an
you know,
hour less.
But now we get to see you squirm through this, so. But no, the Emoji Movie barely beaten by Dunkirk this weekend. I'm surprised with all the terrible reviews because, I mean, we talked about it last week. I think critics are starting to sway audiences more than they used to, and people are paying attention to Rotten Tomatoes. But I guess when it's a kids movie and your kids want to see it.
But everybody knew that this movie, like, had, there was no,
there's nothing to it.
There's no source.
Right, but
you know, it literally is a winky smiley face.
But yeah, this movie,
you know, poop emoji.
Poop.
But, you know, you could say the same thing about the Lego movie.
But at least there's, I mean, there's a history to Legos, you know.
And tons of
like
properties.
Emojis are still like fairly
they keep changing them.
But you know, there's like there's no like Legos, there's a history of storytelling with kids and a history from the company.
But I think walking into the Lego movie, people were like, what are we doing?
I know, but there's at least it's a well-loved brand.
Right.
I
except
agree.
There's no brand
except
behind
for
emojis.
Parents that step on them in the middle of the night.
True.
The
but
most
there's no
hated
brand,
brand
behind emojis.
But at face value, you know, when everyone heard the Emoji Movie, it was just like a collective groan that shook the earth. I mean, Emoji Movie. But it for a while had 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's up to 2 positive now for maybe.
And I want to be one of those 2 positive critics just because I'm
you're
sure
guaranteed to get a read.
I'm sure the check they got was quite nice.
Especially
as late in the game as it came.
Right.
It feels like the studio found like some shady critics.
Would you like to fly out to LA and
we'll wine and dine you?
You can stay with TJ Miller.
We'll give you a personal photo op with a winky face.
But the Emoji Movie coming in at an estimated 27.1 million, right under Dunkirk's 28 million. So that you know, is a lot better than I would have expected. It has a $50 million budget, so that's not even overseas.
Who
I
put
mean,
that out?
Ooh,
Sony.
Okay. Yeah, it is Sony. That's, I guess, why I didn't see a screening for it, but did they?
I don't remember seeing one, but
I don't think there was one.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a different company
it's
now
a different company
for Sony.
Now. Oh, yeah.
But I didn't
not
see
even
one.
On that list.
Yeah, so. But maybe they had some early screenings and then they were like, we don't need more, more reviews of this movie. But anyway, surprisingly, number 2, I mean, with all the other movies that came out, I mean, they surprised me. But again, it's a kids movie. It's a new kids movie, so.
I still would rather have seen that.
Yeah.
An hour of my life.
Hey, well, you know what? You could still see it and they do a mini.
No.
There aren't very many good movies that have the word movie in the title.
Oh, Superman the movie.
Superman the movie is the only one I can think of.
The Muppet movie.
Oh.
Fair enough. That's better than Superman.
The Batman movie? Batman the movie?
Batman the movie.
Is that technically called Batman the movie?
Yeah, Batman the movie is. It shows that worked better at a like a 22 or 30 minute format.
Yeah, right.
I like Batman
Lego
the movie.
But it's long.
Yeah.
It's long.
Lego
and it feels
movie.
It.
Ryan loves that though.
Lego movie.
When growing up, that was his favorite movie, and even though it's that old,
up, he's still growing up.
Sometimes you can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah, I mean, even as like a 5-year-old though, he would love to watch the old 66 Batman movie.
I mean, it was also the only way you could get. You could watch 66 Batman because the TV series was held up.
That's true. We didn't have it on Blu-ray at the time.
I made sure Bella watched The Dark Knight. Like, look, if you're going to watch Batman, we're going to watch the right
Batman.
Ryan's
Batman 66 and his daughter, younger daughter, is watching
we're gonna
The
watch
Dark Knight.
The 3.5-hour Dark Knight Returns animated movie.
And Batman v Superman, the director's cut.
Yeah, right,
the R-rated director's cut.
Nope.
But, the Emoji Movie, $27.1 million. So, yeah. Number three, Girls Trip. Did anyone see that?
I've not, but I've heard great things.
Yeah.
Really?
It had a huge weekend last weekend, and this weekend it only took a 38% drop. It had a huge Friday, 19.3 million in week two. It is up to 64 million domestic. Jeez. In 2 weeks. So that's on a just under $20 million budget.
Yeah.
It's tripled its budget in two
weeks.
Yeah,
no, I've heard great things about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Girls Night 2.
Oh, with that kind of money? Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, and they get free trips out of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and depending on where Girls Night is.
Yeah.
Well, and that one's set in New Orleans, right?
I think it was set in Vegas.
I thought they went to Vegas, yeah.
I don't
know. I could be wrong. I just assume they go to Vegas because that's where all those movies
go. Maybe that's what I did. I thought there was a scene where they were in a casino.
I thought so, too.
Atlantic City.
Yeah.
This isn't the one where they kill the stripper, is it?
No.
Is that the Scarlett Johansson one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's bad. That's very, very bad things.
Yeah. Very female bad things or something.
Yeah. So,
Girls Trip. Okay, who's it?
It's Queen Latifah. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Are you sure it's not New Orleans?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what it's about.
Okay.
Girls go on a trip.
I thought because there's a scene, and I thought they were on Beale Street, but unless they were on
Beale Street Junior.
No, they're on the strip in Vegas.
Well, in Vegas, like, you know, they got, like, you know, mini Eiffel Tower.
Dan is correct.
Stuff.
They go to New Orleans.
Oh,
an adventure of a lifetime when they travel to New Orleans.
Congratulations,
for the annual
Dan.
Essence.
You guys are
festival.
Thinking of the sequel, which will be in Vegas.
Right. Yes.
You know what? All those Girls Night Out movies look the same.
No, I just because there's a scene in the trailer where I'm like, no, it just looked like the French Quarter. So,
oh, right, there you go. Dan knows his party towns.
And we're going to gloss over the fact that
I'm known for my party town knowledge.
Yeah.
So number four, another new movie this week.
Just going to power through and hope that nobody heard his racist comment.
Number four, new movie out this week. Atomic Blonde, another new movie this week. That's Charlize Theron and James McAvoy.
Kind of wish that got voted for. But
this is what I'm saying.
I know, Joe, but we made it Democratic. Apparently, though, we went kind of the Bernie Sanders route and didn't have emoji movie on the bill.
There's a reason.
You know, Hillary emailed me and told me to take it
right,
off.
Take it off.
I better not say that. I might not be here next week.
That's true.
Oops. But Atomic Blonde made $17.5 million. And let's see, overseas, not released over there yet, but that's on a $30 million budget. So
it makes sense. It's the female John Wick, and it made about 70 cents on the dollar.
Correct. That's how that works, right?
But I saw it.
And?
It was good.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean,
was it exactly what you expected it to be?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't think it would have made for an hour-long discussion, because it is the female John Wick.
Although I would have had more time in my life back again.
Yeah. it's set on the eve of the Berlin Wall coming down, and Charlize Theron plays a female, obviously, this female badass character. She works for MI6. They send her in to team up with James McAvoy, who is trying to get a list of, like, double agents. It's like secret identities, just agent data from...
You mean a knock list?
Yeah, exactly, the knock list. she's trying to recover that with his help. The Russians, of course, the bad guy Russians, they want the list so they can kill all these agents. And it's just a badass movie. I mean, she's great. And I don't call it the female John Wick to, like, compare it to, oh, she's the female version of that. I mean, it's just the close...
It's from the creative team.
Yeah. So, it's one of the directors of the first John Wick, and then they split off, and one of them did John Wick 2, one did this. So, I just don't want any complaints about that. It's not
one
like
of them's doing Deadpool?
I think one of them is...
Jumped to Deadpool 2,
I
think.
Yeah. So, but no, it's really good. I mean, Charlize Theron actually trained at the same gym that Keanu Reeves did for John Wick.
Okay.
So, like, they have the same training. She did most of her own stunts and fight scenes. And, Joe, you'd love it because it's not the choppy, quick cut. I mean, this is the guy responsible for the fight stuff in The Matrix and the first John Wick movie. They're not messing around. And, you know, there are some tricky camera things, you know, a few shots of bodies going in front of cameras.
Yeah,
so it doesn't
sometimes.
Look like a cut. But, I mean, for the most part, it's... you know, static shots and people fighting. It looks good.
I suspect, though, it won't come close to the fight scenes from the movie of the week.
Those were
something.
They were something.
They were something.
I saw Atomic Blonde after Valerian.
Good call.
So... But no, it's good. Check it out. It is really good. I mean, Charlize Theron is every bit as badass as the trailer shows. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that we
was she as badass as she was in Fast 8? I'm being
sarcastic. Oh, I forgot she was in that. Yeah. I'm thinking Mad Max Fury Road, but no. I totally forgot about that one.
No, so she'll never be as badass as Furiosa.
She's solidified herself as an action star. I mean, she can do that. Not only is she a great actress, but I mean, she's great. So they do kind of leave it open.
I think it's funny. Like, you don't, one, you, there aren't a lot of women that solidify themselves as action stars. There are even fewer that do it in their 40s.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Like, two
she's
massive
in her 40s?
Yeah. I don't know. She's been around for a while. I just assume
she has to be.
I would say 30s,
no.
But
really?
Yeah, I think she's in her 40s.
I'm thinking, I mean, she was like in 2 days in the Valley.
Like, well, like the Devil's Advocate.
She might have been really young back then, though, you know? Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
41.
41.
Boom. Well, she looks great.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. She looks great. But no, she's great. And they leave it open for a sequel. If I mean, it doesn't need one, but there is a chance for that. And so.
John Wick crossover.
Hey, that'd be pretty cool. I think there's one more
there's
of those.
There's a 20-year gap between these.
Yes. Oh, and yeah.
30-year.
They freeze her.
Yeah,
it's like a 30-year gap. It's a long gap between these
That's
movies.
The other thing I should mention, though. So it being set in the 80s, it's a total 80s tone. The music is all synthesizer and 80s music. It's a lot of neon pink, blue lights and things. It is a freaking awesome.
Is the score by Harold Faltermeyer?
I don't think so. But no, it is.
It's Jan Hammer.
Ah. Well, they couldn't get Herbie Hancock because he was too busy making the movie of the week.
Yeah.
But that was random.
It was random.
I saw
his name in the credits,
like,
and I was
Hancock,
like,
Herbie
Hancock?
I'm like, how come it, it says Herbie Hancock, but it doesn't, and they forgot the part where it says music by. I'm like, that's...
Nope. No music by Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah.
But, that's a paycheck.
But Atomic Blonde, though, a bit self-indulgent at times, but it's a really cool visual style. So check it out. It's worth it. Number five, Spider-Man Homecoming, $13.5 million is a 39% drop in week four. So still sticking around there and making some money. Joe, how much has it made overseas?
$400 million.
Close, $354 million, and a little bit under $300 million here. So it's approaching the about $630 million on a $175 million budget. So... Not bad.
I feel like that's a little light for a Spider-Man movie.
Well, I think it's kind of a wounded beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of substandard Spider-Man stuff out there.
It's the third reboot in less than 20... No, the second reboot. And
yeah. Second reboot. But
the third version
of Spider-Man. The third version in less than 20 years, so...
Yeah, it's legit.
But almost 700... No, not it's, quite, but $650 million in 4 weeks. Sony's got to be happy, right?
Sure.
They're making the money, right? So... Hey, use this character and make us $300 million profit. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's better than the last one. It's
theirs to screw up now.
Don't worry, they will.
Oh, are they taking it?
No, I mean, it's what happens now is key. I mean, Marvel, as long as they can maintain their access, but it also remains to be seen like how much creative control Marvel can continue to exert.
Right.
Without
for
getting
paid.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where, like we see that, like, the beautiful, perfect version of it.
Yeah.
And now let's see what happens.
My guess is, with this amount of money, the next time, I mean, Marvel still wants to use them for other stuff, but I'm guessing eventually what happens is Marvel goes, okay, we'll keep doing this, but we need 5% or 10%. We need some of the money for the work. And then Sony's going to get greedy and go, no, we can do it.
Well,
and
they're
then,
already greedy when they start talking about Venom.
Venom without Spider-Man, Black and... Silver and Black,
yeah,
which is the Black Cat and Silver Sable. Like, I don't. There's all
Why
these characters.
Would you do that without
well,
Spider-Man?
There's characters that you need to have Spider-Man, like
Venom without Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
Let's start with that.
Perfect. That's an excellent idea.
Let's just make a Bizarro movie.
Yeah.
They
did.
Don't need Superman.
They did.
Yeah.
Until Man of Steel.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
So
see that Thor trailer?
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Oh, man. Well, I watched it before Atomic Blonde, and I'm like, man, this resurgence of the 80s stuff, it looks awesome.
It's a very 80s. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, man.
But
at all?
It's awesome.
Oh, it is.
I saw the first one.
Oh, okay. This new one.
It's better.
I mean, the first one
I
liked good.
The first one.
The style and the music, it's all that 80s synthesizer type music. It's badass.
He talks.
They like, brought it. Well, and they also brought in a lot of color.
Yeah,
which
it's
is
very colorful,
you know, because like Dark World is a very like moody, dark looking.
Right.
I think a lot of it is set in, you know, cloudy London.
Yeah.
But
this is set in space.
This feels closer to like a Guardians.
Yeah,
it looks
absolutely.
It is Guardians life.
They
for sure.
Hulk talks in full sentences, which
he
is
does.
Great.
So
he got somebody said that like he got a makeover. Somehow he got a makeover in space. Yeah. Like he got his hair cut. So and his nose is a little bit smaller, and so he got like a nose job
they've,
while
they've
he was
refined
in space.
The yeah. animation.
They, just a little bit. Even from like Avengers. Like he looks better than he looked in
yeah.
Avengers.
Oh, yeah. So it's cool. And number six, War for the Planet of the Apes. That's the movie from a few weeks ago. It made $10.3 million, which is a 50% drop. It is now sitting at $118 million domestic, another $80 overseas. So it's just under $200 million worldwide on a $150 million budget. I'm guessing it hasn't rolled out completely overseas,
that
though.
That doesn't sound it.
I mean, it's a good movie, and it's part of a trilogy that's been yeah. popular. So it seems a little light. I'm guessing they're still waiting on those foreign numbers, too.
And you would think
didn't,
it would do...
Didn't I just see that it's getting held back?
I don't know.
I think China's holding some stuff back.
It could be. They do. But you would think it would lend itself well to a foreign release because so much of the dialogue is either sign language, which would be subtitles anyway.
Right.
Or when the apes talk, you could dub in any language you,
sure,
want,
you want,
and it
sure.
would look okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it hasn't been released in China, but I read that Valerian doesn't come out for a few weeks in August. Spider-Man comes out 2 weeks after that in China.
That, I mean, that's what it was.
Spider-Man is 2 weeks
delayed.
After Valerian, which isn't even out. So, like, they're having some really big delays.
Well, and then that shows you, too, then with Spider-Man hasn't come out yet.
It's gonna
we
make
were
some
like,
more money.
Oh, they're...
Oh, yeah, true. That's 100. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's easily. So, yeah, it's pretty good without the China numbers. But anyway, yeah, so the third Apes movie, a little bit under $200 million right now. Despicable Me 3 in week 5, $7.9 million, a 39% drop brings it to $230 million domestic. Go over to the overseas, though. Tom?
Another $260.
518. Despicable Me 3 in 5 weeks has made just about $750 million on an $80 million budget.
Ugh. Win.
On half a
financially.
Billion, half a billion dollars overseas for yeah. that movie.
Again, just, you can just dub whatever you want. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's true with the animated stuff. You know, I never really thought about that. When we talk about all these animated films that yeah. do so well, and I've always thought of it just being that they like animated stuff, I never thought about how easily the
yeah,
it, translation
and
would
I
be.
Will say, so I was in Mexico for vacation.
Where?
Mexico.
I don't...
Mexico. No, it was fun. It wasn't meh. But, so, I was in Mexico.
Okay.
Mexico. I'm a gringo, so I say Mexico.
You say, yeah, right.
I always felt weird when they would, like, you would walk around the resort, and they'd be like, hola. And I'm like, do I say hola back? Or do yeah. I say hello back?
Como
like,
esta?
Because I'm like, if I say hola back, I'm like, but I don't really speak your language. Is that, like, who am I kidding? And if they follow that up, and they start rattling yeah. off a bunch of other Spanish, like, and then they're going to be like, you said hola.
We have
but then if I say hello instead of hola, am I just like, oh,
just say
on.
You're out.
Say, I'm out.
Yeah. You say the American equivalent, so they understand. You go, holla.
They'd be like, why did you say like,
yeah, like
we
why
have,
is this middle-aged white guy saying
we have Spanish, Mexican neighbors, and when they see me walk into the house in the morning,
yeah.
they're like, Palencia.
Are they hating when they
no.
see you?
They're like, Palencia. And I was just like, see? And they just stopped. And walked back into the house, and I was like, what? I mean, it's yes. Everybody knows how to say yes in Spanish. Like, it's not that hard.
But they're saying police?
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's Mexican neighbors say hi, they yell out police.
They do. Every time the kids see me. Well, no, they ran out the house when I responded, and they were just like, he speaks the language.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one.
Wow.
But
fool them.
So yeah. I had so we were flipped through the stations, yeah. and so a lot of the stations are in Spanish. Funny how that works. Hmm. And so like we were getting like HBO in Spanish, and so they had like Thor dubbed into
oh,
Spanish.
Nice.
And I was really surprised at how well they dub movies these days. Like you know, we make fun of like the old Kung Fu movies.
Or Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Yeah.
Well, not even that, but like the old Kung,
the
Fu,
old
movies,
Kung Fu movies
where it was
bad.
Like
oh, yeah.
his lips would move for like 2 seconds and then to be like a 40-second sure. sentence. And like there was yeah. none of that. Like it was really tight. Like they like it. And like sometimes it was honestly, it was kind of hard to tell that it was even dubbed. Like
oh, really?
they did a, they've gotten really good at that.
Well, have you picked up any of those
Disney
Bruce Lee
too.
Movies from
Shout?
I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if those. I wonder if they took out the English.
What I'm looking forward to is when the box. There's going to be a new box set for the Speed Racer cartoons that are going to have remastered, but then they're also going to have the original Japanese versions.
Really,
which were longer because they're more violent, but
and
also
had full frontal nudity.
And
is that right?
Well, Trixie. No.
But I mean,
there was full frontal nudity, which sounds great until you realize it was all pops and chim chim.
It's all pixeled out. So it's
But you know,
hopefully no spridle.
The funny thing about Speed Racer is like they had no script to go by.
Yeah.
So they made up the stories watching the cartoons.
the American
version, and so.
They just watched it.
They watched
in
them
Japanese
and just
kind of
made up the stories. They didn't have like anything to go by.
They just wang it.
Oh, that's
they got
hilarious.
Like the whole set. They're just kind of like watched everything and they made up the scripts. And then they also like, but there's a reason why there was a lot of because like
they didn't know
because they just looked like they were going
Oh my gosh!
So they would have like them talk really fast to try to match it to the mouth. So they'd be like, we have to go that way, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't know. So that's why in this one they've all got pineapples. And
do they have pens?
They have to hang on to, and there's they're driving around with the pineapples, and then I guess whoever wins the race if they still have if they're in first and have a pineapple, we'll call it the Pineapple Grand Prix. No, if you watch those old ones, it's like they were just kind of waiting.
They were doing MST3K with, I mean, basically,
mm-hmm.
they were just watching it and making their own.
Yeah, did you ever watch what was that? There was a show on Spike. Was it Most Extreme Elimination Challenge?
Yeah, where they dub over the.
Where it was just like two. But it wasn't like they weren't saying anything important. They were just making fun of everybody that was on the show. Yeah.
Or like, didn't they do like the chef one, but then they dub it with funny stuff?
Iron Chef?
But then is there one where they kind of make fun of the chefs and that? I think there was a parody of
There's a Woody Allen movie.
Iron Chef is great.
What's Up Tiger Lily?
Yes.
Where he took like a Chinese spy movie and completely redubbed the dialogue.
How about Kung Pao, End of the Fist?
Yeah.
He's doing basically that, and he takes old footage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Because it's not, like, it's him, and they go to an old Japanese movie, you know.
Like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is coming out on Blu-ray, I just saw.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's such a good movie.
Like, it is. It's one that, like, people were like, oh, Steve Martin, he's so funny. It's like, yes, but then you will see where your threshold is because it's a great movie, but it's
Steve Martin.
It's more clever than funny.
It's more clever and artsy.
And yeah,
did you see them? Did you go see them when they
were
here? How was that?
It was really good. They were
them just talking, or was it like a show?
So I saw Steve Martin and Martin Short, and I went in thinking Martin Short was going to come out and do Martin Short stuff, and then we were going to have to sit through an hour of banjo.
That's what I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and that was not what it was at all. If it's coming to your town, I highly recommend it. And it was them two on stage almost the entire time, like
together, back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth, and telling stories and cutting
cool.
up, and then there was some banjo really stuff, but you know, at my age I need to pee. And but there really wasn't like a ridiculous amount of it. Like, it was enough to keep him happy, but not so much that the crowd wasn't. And it was Steve Martin being Steve Martin. He wasn't doing stand up in the traditional sense. He wasn't being the wild and crazy guy, which I think would be probably kind of sad if he did it anyway. But recommended.
Wasn't that on the 25th anniversary of SNL where they had Short, Chase, and Martin, and they all came out together, and Chase was the only one that was wearing the Three Amigos gear?
Yeah.
And he looks at them both. He's like, I thought we agreed we were going to do this. And Martin Short's like, no, we agreed it was going to be sad and pathetic. And Chevy Chase is like, I must have missed that part. And he's like, and then we're going to do the salute. And Chevy Chase is the only one that does the Three Amigos salute.
Right.
And they're both just like looking at him, and they just cut to whatever they're going to do. And I was like, yeah, that's funny. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, if it's coming to your town, it's definitely worth seeing.
I only have one question. Did Martin Short reprise his character from Clifford?
No. Oh,
good.
Damn it.
That's a
good
thing.
But he does have a Clifford story.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Did he do Jiminy Click?
He did.
As a puppet, right?
As a ventriloquist type puppet.
That's cool.
But I think just because it's too much to get in the suit, I saw Martin Short just...
Did he do that on his own?
Do a Martin Short show, and he does Jiminy Click in the full
wow
costume, yeah.
Interesting. What was the Clifford story?
Where's Ed Grimley?
Yeah, that was my question.
He did not do Ed Grimm.
Damn it.
Was it a good Clifford story? Anything of note?
I mean, it was fun. It would take forever for me to recreate it. But
gotcha. Yeah.
It's like telling a Kevin Smith story.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go crazy. I'd still be there.
Well, coming in at number 8, the movie of the week. It is in week 2, to be fair. So it's not like it opened at number 8.
Can't believe it's made more money than Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman's 9th week in release.
Yes.
Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets in week 2, $6.2 million, a 64% drop. So it's not that it opened too strong last week, but it is at $30 million in week 2.
On a $500 million budget.
No, it is a $177.2 million budget, Joe.
Okay.
Swinging a miss.
I mean, yeah. Well, it's just like, what does this guy have to do to stop getting movies?
But he's made a hit. I mean, Lucy was a hit.
But Lucy was a piece of shit.
But it made a ton of money.
It did make a ton of money.
They're predicting this could make $300 to $400 million worldwide.
I think it will.
And this is a 177 budget.
Can you see where the graphic novel came from?
Where, it's not worldwide. I think it will.
It's not American.
It's a French graphic novel.
Yeah. Okay,
from the 60s, okay. late '60s.
I tried to find it
before Star Wars.
Yeah, I tried to find it to read. Just be like, well, how close? Like what? Because I think this is like a passion project.
It is.
He's been trying to do it forever
since before Fifth Element.
Yeah,
I did some research on the comparison. So
all right, we'll get into that.
Yeah. But yeah, so not making too much money in the U.S., but again, predicting between 3 and 4. It's also an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
It's really? no big studios financed it. It's a studio, EuropaCorp is mm-hmm. Luc Besson's company. He owns the majority of.
Can we say China. The Dean DeHaan experiment is over?
Well, we can next episode if you want.
Can we stop with that?
No, we'll have to wait and see. But EuropaCorp, Chinese film studio, and a bunch of other just little independent investors. It's really interesting. So, yeah, there's a ton of foreign investors on this thing. But yeah, they're hoping to make their money back, so we'll see what happens with the foreign take on it. But again, I mean, it doesn't open in China for another like 2 weeks, so it's really not rolled out overseas.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it. This movie's got. As I was watching it, uh-huh. I know what's going to happen with this movie,
yeah.
and it's
yep.
Tune in.
No. It's going to be one of those things. That's like, yeah, no.
I see what you did there. That's what it is. Like, that's
but. Number 9, Baby Driver, still making the money. $4.1 million, only a 32% drop in week 5. That's $92 million domestic and another around $35 overseas. So, you know, you're talking about 120 some odd million on a $34 million budget.
It's a big old hit. I love that. That's why I referred to it as Dirty Baby. your aunt and uncle saw, what is that movie, Dirty Baby? And I was sitting there and I'm thinking,
what? Did they go to New
Boss
York?
Boss Baby? And I'm like, Baby Driver? Just, that's it.
Yeah, that's what I meant
Dirty
to say.
Dirty Baby.
It's a weird insight into your mother's psyche.
It's like, no, I don't think that's
not a thing, Mom.
A thing.
Diaper Driver.
Diaper Driver. Yeah. Coming in at number 10, rounding out the top 10, is Wonder Woman with $3.6 million, a 22% drop in week 9. So that has now made almost $400 million domestic, another $400 million foreign. So
that's good. That just helps fund those reshoots.
Yeah. $800 million on a $149 million budget.
That's awesome. And I read that Warner Brothers is going to do a big push to
get it for Best Picture.
Get it for Best Director.
You know what? I could see her getting nominated for Best Director. I can give that.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Yeah,
For
sure.
Not just superhero films.
Did you see the trailer? Did you watch the trailer?
For
Justice League?
I did have to watch it before one of the movies, yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't excite me at all.
There are...
Aquaman is a surfer?
I don't know.
Like, he's... second trailer where I've seen, like, they're really making him kind of like a little bit of a brah.
Yeah.
Or a surfer.
Well, I mean, look at
well,
the...
Well, we know. I know. But, I mean, it's like I... Like, when he, like... Because he kind of, like...
Yeah.
He shakes his coif as he rides some dude down a building.
But,
and I'm like...
But, like, that scene looked like garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
That whole scene where he jumps on a parademon and, like... pushes him through the entire building, and then all of a sudden he just pops out of the building. That looked awful.
Yeah. Well, I after the last two misfires, especially with Suicide Squad, I just am not excited about this movie. And it's crazy to have a movie about Batman and the old Justice League and to be like, it's just not.
So what did I see that it's not Superman in the trailer? It's Supergirl.
So for real?
Yeah. That's the. I mean, internet rumors abound.
Yeah.
But like they're saying that like if you look at the like so Bruce is looking at a CGI image and they're like, look at the leg is way slimmer, Like, it's not the same size. Mm. And then it's, yeah.
Interesting.
The, okay. It's that it's blonde hair that you see in, like, the shadow. It's not a cape.
Huh.
But she'd have the same symbol.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Blonde shadow.
No, it's super, it's Superman. Like, it's, that's.
I haven't, I'm not even, like, I've barely invested any time in
that. Yeah, I mean, like, I appreciate that they didn't show him. Unlike the,
no, it's
where it's
stupid.
Just like, oh,
like,
by the way, here's Doomsday.
At this point, yeah, no, at this point, we all know he's going to come back. They should have either, what they should have done
well,
is.
Well, the fact that they have to.
Well, it's also
we
like,
all know,
he's
everybody
taking,
knows because they have to digitally.
Take a mustache.
So, that's so spoiler for the world. But Henry Cavill is going to be in the new movie.
What they should have done is they should have either owned it and had him die at the end of the last one. No stupid dirt moving. They should have owned it. They should have not even had it tease that he's in this movie, cast in this movie, and they should have done it right. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't need to. No one's like, oh, if
in
Henry
my
Cavill's
opinion,
not in it.
You can't have Superman. You can't have the Justice League without Superman.
No, maybe. You have it, but they're doing this whole tease, quote unquote. I'm using air quotes.
Well, it's also like
tease.
The tease is where. So in the trailer, like, Alfred says, okay, now we've got some hope.
Yeah.
And, like, nods at his chest. And I was like, well,
he's like, it's about time. Where have you been? Now, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. So they're quote unquote teasing it. We all know he's in it.
Okay, fine. So, and then, see, I saw the trailer and I was like, well, Alfred seems awfully very chummy and familiar with this strange person who just appeared that they've never met before. But okay, whatever.
No, maybe they didn't meet.
He
never met
him.
They
didn't interact at all.
Yeah. That's true.
Unless they said, oh, yeah, your mom's named Martha. How about that?
My mom's named Martha.
No, but seriously, I was like, well, okay. I don't know.
Well, it took you long enough.
I have a feeling that this is all Zack Snyder footage. I don't think there's any.
Yeah, because they are still trying to shoot
this. What I'm saying, I don't think there's any Joss Whedon footage in that trailer.
I bet you, and I think Tom's hinted at earlier, I guarantee everything kept is action footage from Snyder.
Probably.
And I think Joss Whedon's shooting all the dialogue.
I think she's the leader now. I think they're going to fix it to where Batman is not the leader of that team. It's going to be her.
Well, we'll see. That's enough talking about Justice League. Yes. That's for sure. But that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Daniel. You can find me on Twitter. I was like, I don't even know where I'm at. Stupid Justice League. You can find me on Twitter at DayGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
I just realized our box office report was episode 300.
Yeah.
How anticlimactic was that? Happy 300. This is Kevin.
At least no one got their hopes up.
That's true.
When they saw 300 box office.
Okay. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, bitch about episode 300, you can do that at facebook.com/real spoilers. While you're there, you can join our League of Show Sharers group and double dip in your social media Real Spoilers extravaganza. Don't forget, we're also available on iTunes, where you can go rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Valerian in 30 minutes of suck.
Yeah.
So that's coming up on the next episode. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.